Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the things that a lot of people do is blame others for different things that happen. And blaming, while it's something that is just tempting by human nature to do and by the outside world, it's something that we should stop doing, but instead take personal responsibility for different actions that take place. So that's what we're going to focus on in this episode. And we're focusing on this topic because if you do stop blaming and you do take personal responsibility, that is going to lead you on the road to achieve growth. And who better to talk about that than today's guest, who's the author of No Complaints, a book that teaches you how to stop complaining so you can change your life forever and bring you greater joy and more satisfying relationships. So today's guest for episode 217 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Sienna Stewart. Sienna, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
Sienna, I'm really looking forward to this episode because blaming is something that a lot of people do and complaining also. These are two things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but are things that people do very frequently. So we're going to tap into that during this episode. But I'd like to get some background first. So can you just share with us why you wrote No Complaints and what was going on? Like just the whole backstory of that book.
Yeah, absolutely. About 10 years ago, I was in a really, really bad space. I was very depressed. I had just gone through a terrific breakup. I didn't have a job. I had moved out of my house. I'd given away most of my stuff. And things were really down. And so I was understandably depressed. Move fast forward several months, and I was doing a lot better. I had returned to the Bay Area because my friends had lured me back here by introducing me to somebody who would later become my mentor in a field of my choice for work. I got a job. I was staying with friends, and things were going really, really well. And one day I was driving along and I was going from my friend's house where they were letting me stay to my new, very fabulous job. And I saw the morning light over San Francisco, which is my favorite city. And I just got filled with this feeling of happiness and joy and just appreciation for like being back in this area. And then for whatever reason on that morning, I had this like flash of a conversation that I had had with my friends the night before, where they were trying to thank me for having cooked dinner for them and trying to be nice to me. And I immediately turned around with, yeah, well, you know, if I only had my old kitchen and this would have been a lot better if I, you know, had everything that I used to have. And I just went into like a round of complaints. And then I thought how horrible that was. And then I replayed back to several other conversations with other friends over the previous few weeks and realized that I did that again and again and again. And I was basically not even able to see how good my life had become because I was so focused on complaining about what it used to be. And I was also, I thought, just being just terrible to my friends. So I made a resolution to stop complaining. And I discovered that that was actually really hard. I thought it was going to be fairly simple to just stop. And then as I had stopped, I sat and I heard more people around me, how many people were complaining, how much complaining was in our culture, and how much people were complaining about complainers. And that's when I got super curious and I started to try to figure out what was going on. So I spent like the next 3 years basically reading everything I could in business communications and leadership and relationships and just communications in general and neuropsychology and everything, and healed my own complaining habit and then started teaching other people because they got really curious about what had happened. So, you know, I've been talking about it and thinking about it for the last 10 years or so and researching it and teaching folks, and it's really transformative. So now I'm inspired to bring this out farther than my circle, and that's what brought about the book.
Sienna, thank you for sharing with us that story. And I mean, you bring up a very interesting point where if we complain about things in the past, we could fail to see all the good things that we have going for us and the direction that we're going in. And some would say that, and you mentioned this, like complaining is like you're in a sense self-sabotaging. So I'm wondering, like complaining is just something that like is so natural to people. Like, you know, you match the given circumstances, complaining just feels natural in certain scenarios. So how can we stop complaining and stop also engaging in the self-sabotage that you usually get as a result of complaining?
Thanks for asking that. That's great. The first thing is to just notice that you are complaining and even to understand what a complaint is. For me, I'd make a very specific definition that complaining is basically airing a grievance without contributing to solving the problem. And that second part is what makes it really, really exhausting. You know, traditionally saying a complaint is just about airing a grievance, but it's actually about the fact that you're not contributing to the problem or to solving it that is the real issue. So by being aware of that, and you know, you can stop yourself when you hear yourself complaining and laugh at yourself, call yourself out, or just say like, okay, well, how can I actually turn this into a moment of trying to figure out what's the solution? Is this the right person to talk to? Is this a person going to be able to help me figure this out? Or do I just need to move on and talk about something else? That's one of the first ways. And it's just to start to identify all the things that are the small triggers in your world that are habitual complaining. Like some people have a habit of complaining when they get home from work, or when they wake up on Monday, or when, you know, they get into a car and it's traffic or something like that. And so these noticing these triggers and then saying, well, who do I want to be in this moment? What do I want to be talking about instead of just going back into an old habit? That's a first start.
And that is a interesting approach for to avoid complaining, but there are some cases where there's this famous saying, Jim Rohn says it, where you are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. So one of the big things is like, since a lot of people complain, sometimes you find yourself in a situation where other people around you are complaining and you need to stay strong during those situations. So if we're surrounded by people who are complaining about anything whatsoever, how do we stay strong and not complain and self-sabotage ourselves?
Yeah, there's a lot of different techniques for that. I mean, that, you know, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with is, or that you actually also identify with, is now scientifically proven in a lot of different ways, and it can affect your health as well as just your levels of success and your income and your focus and all of that kind of thing. So if you are in a situation, say, you know, at work, and you are, or in your home, where it's an environment that you can control, one of my techniques is to declare no-go zones. So you say that a particular time of day or a particular location is a complaint-free zone. And then you put up a sign. I actually have the signs on my website. You can go to gonoco.com, G-O-N-O-C-O.com, and just sign up and we'll send you the signs. So you can just declare no-go zones. And then you can get into a conversation with people about their complaining. Most of the time, people don't actually want to complain, or they're not even really aware that they're doing it. So I think that that's one of the ways to sort of raise a level of awareness around you. Another thing is to just let people know that you've taken a no complaining pledge. And if, you know, you get sucked into a conversation where they're really complaining, you just let them know that, like, I've taken a no complaining pledge and I actually just can't participate in this. So it just lets them know why you're being quiet or why you're leaving or that you want to change the subject. Now, what I'm suggesting is very difficult and awkward, and I recognize that because we are in a very complaint-filled society. What this choice is actually a really bold and courageous choice, and it's something that takes a lot of effort and takes some commitment, and you're swimming upstream of the tide, but trust me, people actually appreciate it, and they will often be grateful up to you, maybe not in that moment, especially if you don't do it gently. But if you just say it's my pledge and I can't participate, then it changes it from saying like you're complaining too much. And that's one of the stronger techniques. But I recognize that a lot of what we're talking about here is actually doing something that's pretty unusual and it's pretty bold. But you know, that's what you need to do in order to be able to lead and to create the environments that you want.
And if you embrace that, no complaining, you tell your friends that, hey, I'm not complaining. So that's why you're quiet. Like some people, they may not hang out with you anymore, but those might be the people who are bringing you down. Those might be the people who your presence around those people is not helping you at all. It could be hurting you. So adopting an attitude like that, adopting a approach, a mindset like that, can really help you to weed out the people who are having a negative impact on your life and expanding on the people who have a positive impact on your life. And one of the things that a lot of people care about very much are success and also happiness. So when you hear about like ditch a habit, add a habit, in this case, living a complaint-free life, how would that lifestyle, the complaint-free lifestyle, lead to happiness and success? Like, are the two like strongly correlated, or is it just like you just know?
They are strongly correlated. So there's a number of things, especially in neuropsychology, that I've been drawing on and in psychology to be able to make these extrapolations. Now, complaining has not actually been directly studied, so I'll acknowledge that right from the beginning. And a lot of this is drawn on personal experience and working with the people that I've been teaching over the last decade or so. But what I've noticed and what is also in the scientific studies is when you're complaining, you're actually focusing your attention on the negative. And the thing about that is that it's been shown that when you focus your attention on the negative over and over again, you're sort of living in this world of fear and constraint. And it means that you're less creative. You're less able to figure out solutions to problems. You're less able to come up with alternatives and in general, just be less creative. And we all know that that creativity is actually essential and that problem solving is essential to being successful in any endeavor. So that's one really strong way. The other thing that it does is that actually I'm using a lot of the psychology studies on rumination, which is talking over and over and over again about a problem without focusing on the solution. So that's fairly similar to complaining. And with rumination, it is actually well documented for decades now that it contributes to depression, anxiety, and stress. And all of those are so negative for your health. And in general, again, back to the lack of creativity and productivity, it'll actually shut both of your creativity and your productivity down. So those are two solid things that I've started to see as people focus on complaining. Using the complaining as a marker and not necessarily saying like that's the only thing. Like for one thing, complaining is actually a symptom of something else that's going on. Like you started off talking about blame. A lot of times when people are blaming others or they're complaining about something to blame them, it's because they feel like they're potentially at risk for getting in trouble or that they're in a sort of a dangerous situation where they're going to get blamed for something. And so they'll attack first. So that's one example of how you can see a complaint and then say, what's really going on? Oh, this person feels like they're in danger. And so using complaints as a marker for saying what is really going on gives you an opportunity to address the underlying emotional issues. And by addressing those, you can make your entire life that much happier and more joyful and more successful.
And I really like how you talked about how complaining has an effect on the mindset, with like the lack, the drop in productivity and the sense of fear around us. So it's definitely one of those things that affect the mindset. And we all know that the mindset is the most important thing that you have for determining your success. I mean, you could be born like maybe at like a like timing and stuff like that matters, but in the end, it's the mindset that you could have like the greatest amount of opportunity, but the mindset really determines how far you get in. Adopting a complaint-free lifestyle helps you out with developing the right mindset that you need for success. And Sienna, with success in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
I do think that negative comparisons to other people, again, this is another, that's another thing about complaining. Complaining is often about you making a comparison of reality to something else and just kind of sitting around and saying like, oh, well, I wish reality wasn't happening. But the truth is that you have to actually look at reality in order to be able to figure out what you can do with it and how you can actually solve a problem or how you can improve yourself to get the skills that you need in order to be able to solve that problem. You have to really drop into taking a look at what is really happening. And by focusing on what you wish was happening, but not actually doing anything about it, I think it erodes your self-confidence. You're not going to go after getting the skills that you need. You're going to get really angry and jealous and petty, which is not, you know, I strongly believe that success is comes from a lot of generosity and, you know, being able to build a community and a network where everything feeds positively on itself and you're supporting each other in your mutual rise to the top. And that there isn't really a top, that there's a sharing of everything. So I think all of those things are, you know, by staying focused on negative things, you feel bad about yourself, you feel bad about other people, you feel like you're in constant competition and under attack. But if you start to feel positively, then you feel more confident, you're more willing to take a risk to tackle something that maybe is a little bit of a stretch for yourself, but that helps you grow and to generally build the network that you need in order to be able to be successful.
And I really like that idea you bring up, how we compare ourselves to others. And that's something that it's good to view someone as a role model, but it's bad to view them as the things you have versus the things you don't have, because that can lead to a big drop in self-worth. And another interesting thing is there is no top. It's just that idea of sharing what you have, that idea of always pursuing the next level. So that's just another thing to keep in mind. So you may also want to check how you are during the journey. Be happy during the journey, because even when you like, let's say your journey is to get to six figures, when you do reach that part, you may just set another goal for yourself. So it's always good to be happy in the journey, because I can almost guarantee that at the end of every journey is the start of a new journey and challenges.
Right.
You have any thoughts you want to share on that?
Yeah, actually. So one of the things about the structure of my book, which is not necessarily obvious just from looking at the cover, is that I talk about this going on in three phases. There's awareness, and then interruption, and then replacement. So first you're aware of your complaining habits, and what contributes to them. And that's mostly what we've been talking about here. Then there's replacement, which is things like, you know, I mean, interruption, which is things like establishing a no-go zone and doing other things that will help you break that complaining habit. But once you're done with that, once you feel like you've conquered it, now you've got kind of this hole and you have to actually replace it with good habits. And so I love what you're talking about with taking a look at, you know, when you get to a certain level of success, if you have a goal, it's just going to be the start of another thing. And so one of my tools for replacement, and it's one of the chapters in the book, is on cultivating a focus on the process. And this is one of the things where you don't just look at the goal, but you look at all of the intermediate steps and congratulate yourself along the way for doing those things, or at least trying them and learning something from them, so that you can improve, so that you can continue to improve your process. And if you keep focusing on the process, you'll get to the goal, for one thing, but you'll also feel the wins along the way, and you'll feel that much happier and more satisfied. And it can build your confidence, and it can also build your skills and your network as you go along, and your sense of grit your willingness to continue to try even as things fail, because you don't feel like, oh, I haven't hit the big goal, but I've hit these like 75 other small goals as I'm going, well, I'm just going to keep going now because I've already done those 75 smaller goals. You know, so I think that that's actually a really big thing. And I like that you were talking about this, like, you got a goal, but it's going to each one. And just keep staying on that process.
And I like that idea of setting these like small step goals on your way to, also you can set them on the way to a bigger goal. So I really like that idea. You don't want to just set one big goal, because then it just seems a lot more difficult versus these small step goals. But regardless of what goals you give yourselves, how many small steps that you set from where you are now to accomplishing the goal, there are going to be certain challenges that we face along the way. And with that in mind, Sienna, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
The biggest challenge that I have faced and that I still face in many ways is my inner critic. I'm, you know, definitely in the perfectionist mode, the driving myself. And sometimes in a very unhealthy way, that's where my, using the right measuring stick is actually the, one of the biggest lessons that I've had. So there was, I'll tell you a little story. I have, I used to go rock climbing, a lot, and I was a swing dancer and I was working full time. And I also, you know, I was right on the side. I was doing all of these different things. And I was out one night with a bunch of friends, and I was talking to one of them, and he was saying, like, oh, so you're a climber, nor are you any good? And I said, nah, you know, I'm not that great. I'm just, you know, I just really enjoy it. It's really fun. And then a friend of mine leaned over and was like, she's actually a good climber, but she's only comparing herself to people who do nothing but climb. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. And it's this feeling of, what measuring stick are you using? Are you realistically comparing yourself to somebody who is doing the same things that you're doing? And so therefore you should have a reasonable expectation that you can get to that same level. Or are you comparing yourself to somebody who has had a lot more doors opened for them, or who has devoted 100% of their time where you're only devoting 20%, or, you know, that they don't have some of the obstacles that you're facing, some of this other, you know, built-in handicaps that you've got on the long the way to try to achieve that same thing. So if you can, if you could take a look at that and recognize that, which I had to do, then I needed to step back and say, okay, so I recognize that this is the difference, that they're this good and I'm only this good, but it's because they do these things. Am I willing to do what they're doing in order to get to that same level of success? And when it came to the rock climbing, it was like, no, actually, the people that I'm comparing myself to are the ones who have broken up their relationships. They climb every single day. They you know, live in a camp for the entire summer doing nothing but climbing. And I was like, I'm not going to live that life. That's not my life. And I could then step back and compare myself to other people who were like me, climbing, you know, just a couple of days a week in the gym and occasionally going outside, and then say, oh yeah, no, well, on that scale, I'm reasonably good. This was a long time ago. I'm not reasonably good now, but there's, you know, that sense of like, what are you willing to do? And are you making a realistic comparison? And that was one of the things that helped to soften my inner critic as well, is every time my inner critic shows up and starts beating me up, I'm like, hey, one, language, you're not a very nice person, inner critic. And two, I think that you're not comparing me to some, you know, like in a reasonable way. You're comparing me to some kind of ideal. But if I look at my life reasonably, that's not who I am. And that's not what I'm going for. That was one of my big lessons.
Sienna, I really love that measuring stick example, because that goes back to the idea of who are you comparing yourself to. And if you compare yourself to the best of the best, no matter how good you are, you may not feel as good about yourself if you're comparing yourself to someone who, as you mentioned, is committing all those hours to rock climbing. So that measuring stick really does matter, where you're, what you're measuring, who you're measuring yourself in relation to. So that's like a big lesson we should all get from this episode. But another thing that I want to get from this episode, I believe a lot of listeners do too, is more places where we can learn, because self-education is something so important, especially for achieving a lot of success. So Sienna, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Absolutely. So speaking of the inner critic, one of the big books for me to get over that was The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And that was an amazing book for me and helped me to really understand a lot of things. I also was really affected by, and I think that your listeners could really benefit with, Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most by Douglas Stone. And that book is an incredible insight and a lot of techniques on how to tackle conversations that you might be avoiding and things that are very hard. And another one that is good for this audience is The Power of the Positive No by William Ury, which is about how to say yes to some things by saying no to others. And so those three books are actually included on I have at the back of my book a list of books that I think are a great start for, you know, going into really deep dives into a lot of the stuff that I actually focus on. So those are three books that I would recommend.
Sienna, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will be markbury.com/E217. That's where you'll find them in the show notes. We'll also throw Content Marketing Secrets, which is my book, into the show notes. That's markbury.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Sienna, I'm wondering if you could share with us one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
One question that I think a lot of people don't ask, that I think should be asked more often, is what else is also true in this moment? There's a lot of times that we're saying things and making assumptions about what other people are thinking or about what we're capable of or about what is happening in the world, when really the world is generally more complex. The stories that we're getting are only part of the story. And I think we should constantly challenge ourselves to take a look at multiple sides or just deeper information, sort of a more full understanding of the complexities. So the question is, what else is also true in this moment?
Sienna, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout this episode. For anyone who wants to learn more about Sienna, get your copy of her book, No Complaints, so you can learn how to stop blaming and take personal responsibility and achieve that massive growth, achieve that massive success we talked about. We only scratched the surface a little bit, but there's a lot more in her book, No Complaints. That will be in the show notes, markbury.com/E217. But Sienna, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. And I'm really glad to be here. And I wish you the best success in the world.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn